Welcome to Beer, Beats, and Business, the business podcast for smart people who appreciate the insights found in a good conversation. That guy sitting at the end of the proverbial bar is your host, David J.P. Fisher, but everyone around here just calls him D. Fish. He's an author, speaker, and business coach. Basically, he's a professional talker. So grab a glass of your favorite beverage, grab a seat, and join us for today's episode. Let's see where the conversation takes us.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to another interesting conversation with an interesting person. And today, the role of interesting person is being played by my good friend, Joey Davenport. Joey is the president of the Hoopus Performance Network, located right here in Chicago, which provides digital learning and development resources to the financial services industry worldwide. HPN is recognized by the Inc. 5000 as one of the fastest growing privately held businesses in the United States. He is also a rocking guitar player, and I'm sure we'll talk about his band at some point. Joey, how are you?
D. Fish, what's happening, my friend? Good to hear from you.
Oh, man, I'm so excited to have this conversation. And I'm very excited to have this conversation over a beer, even if it's virtual beer. But today I am drinking from our sponsor, Urban Renewal Brewery, their Queens of Wit, which is a Belgian-style wit beer. And it's delicious. It comes in a very cool pink can. And if you ever get a chance to drink some, I highly suggest it, because I've had a couple sips in our pre-call conversation. But anyways, thank you, Urban Renewal, for sponsoring this episode. Joey, here's my question for you to kick us off. You talk a lot about trust in the learning, the development that you do for the financial services industry. How do you see trust and trust building changing in a post-coronavirus world?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, like through our program, Trustworthy Selling, that you're aware of, that we've built for financial advisors, one thing we did, because trust can be like this esoteric phrase, right? You ask five different people what trust means, you might get five different answers. So we went to the consumer,
right,
and said, hey, what does trust mean in your eyes? And there were four key facets it boiled down to. And this would be in the pre-COVID world, right? And that was benevolence, integrity, dependability, and competency. And competency was least important. That was considered table stakes. And, you know, dependability, doing what you said you're going to do, that's not going to change. Benevolence, putting someone else's needs above your needs, that's not going to change, right? Integrity, that's not going to change. But there's certain components or subsets of those. And so right now, as an example, right, if you're in sales or you're doing outreach, doing business development, you have to be very careful right now of going and pushing wares and things, because that doesn't come across necessarily as benevolence. This is a great time to be connecting with clients, seeing how you can be a resource. Are there free things you could be offering them? That demonstrates benevolence, right? I'm putting your needs above my needs. Like, for example, we had a webinar today for HPN, and you know a couple of the people that were on it, but it was on around mindfulness and mental toughness during this pandemic for advisors and them to work with their clients. And it's funny, we could have done one around, you know, working remotely or building your practice virtually. And of course, we have resources like that. But for some reason in my gut, right, I felt, you know what? Right now, what people need is something around mindfulness and mental toughness of reducing the stress, and was really trying to think about, what do people need right now? What's the benevolence from HPN standpoint of putting other people's needs first? And it's given them something around those particular topics. And going further to that, you know, I think empathy is a big one right now, of just reaching out,
sure,
and being of service and being very empathic and making sure that you understand where people are coming from and that you're there as a source of listening. That's going to engender trust. That's going to become very important. The other thing around this, I think, is emotional intelligence. You know, in my industry, there's an association called the $1 Million Roundtable. It's like the top 6% of financial advisors in the world. And they just released a study that said the number one trait or attribute that an advisor or, you know, any salesperson needs to be considered most trustworthy is emotional intelligence. And I think people in a post-COVID world of being more emotionally intelligent, of demonstrating empathy and benevolence and those types of things, is going to become even more important than it would have before. And quite frankly, being able to do that virtually, you know, right. I mean, things aren't going to go back completely the way they were ever before. You know, it was like after 9/11, certain things never went back the same way. Same thing for this, as far as going to conferences and traveling, but definitely now that people know that they can meet with one another virtually, and cut down on costs and things, being able to demonstrate emotional intelligence, empathy, those types of things virtually are going to become critically, critically important. And just one last thing I'd say on this, David, is it's interesting in the world of selling. I got this from a good buddy, George Ludwig. He always says that the word sales comes from the Scandinavian root word, salesig, which means to serve. Mm-hmm. And so I think a time right now for professionals that are into sales or business development or promoting their business or whatever, really having that serving mindset, people are going to remember that coming on the other side of it. And then therefore you're going to win their business because they're going to remember how you acted during this period in particular.
Right. So that's really interesting because I think everything you just said there could have been said about the pre-COVID world, right? Before all this happened. But I think it would have been almost subsumed within a larger conversation about growth, about technology, about scaling and doing more. And so now that it's kind of front and center, this idea, I love what you're saying about emotional intelligence and service. It's almost like it's now become primary. It's kind of come front and center again. It's like, yeah, it's great if you have all of the fancy technology and the AI and all of those other things. But in the end, if you can't have a good human-to-human connection with a person, it doesn't really matter. Is that right?
Yeah, man. And you see it going on right now. I mean, people are itching to get back to interacting with people. Right. And so, you know, it creates a great big opportunity for people, but yeah, those skills are going to become even more important. And so absolutely.
I've found this a wonderful, validation because I've been talking about empathy both offline and online for years. And sometimes I have to admit, I felt like people weren't as excited about it. They wanted to hear about the new, piece of sales technology that would tell them exactly when their prospect was going to buy from them. And I was like, yeah, but you have to be able to have a real conversation with them. And so now I'm getting a little bit of validation.
You have been beating that drum for years. And by the way, since we're on the podcast and we had our pre-warm-up beer, I just wanted to have this sound for the podcast. There we go.
I love it. I'm keeping it authentic.
I guess not to jump ahead, I don't want to take over your interview, but I am drinking Anti-Heroes or Revolution's Anti-Hero IPA brewed here in Chicago, which is one of my favorite IPAs. So I thought I'd bring that up as well.
Joey, we have yet to have a conversation that is linear and ordered. So, I mean, why start now? You know, come on. I know you're a huge Anti-Hero fan. I know you like the IPAs. Is there any other IPAs that you've been drinking right now that you're fired up about?
Man, a good friend of mine, Rick Funk, he's a business associate. He's up in Connecticut, and there is I don't know what brewing company it is, but the beer is called Sip O Sunshine.
Okay.
And they only brew it, they only distribute it in 5 states in the Northeast. And so every time I'm on a business trip where he's going to be, he brings me a 6-pack of Sip O Sunshine, and it's so hoppy. It's like firecrackers going off in your mouth, and I can't get it. I've tried to get them to ship it here. I've tried my, Stormy's, my watering hole that you and I philosophize at.
Yeah.
I've tried to get them to get it, and they can't even get it. So, but it's called Sip O Sunshine, and it's my favorite IPA, and it's fantastic. So if you guys are in the Northeast, at a bar or something, it's usually in a lot of different bars there. It's called Sip of Sunshine.
Right.
And it's fantastic.
So. Oh, I love it. I'm sure it would not be one of my favorites, as I don't tend to go to the IPAs. Although I will say, and this gives a shout out to our sponsor, Urban Renewal, I did have their hazy IPA in a previous episode. And I wasn't going, oh, this is horrible. I was like, I enjoyed this beer. Again, I'm not going to run out and, have 7 of them. But I think it's called Hazy River IPA. So you should definitely check that one out. I think if you dig the hops, you dig that one for sure.
D-Fish, your palate is way too more sophisticated for an IPA.
Yeah,
you're probably drinking. What is it now? You're drinking the ciders and stuff, right? That's what the beer snobs do now. They got past IPAs. Now they're on to ciders. So.
You know what? Come on, Joey. As a man who loves having his Miller High Life and his Schlitz when the time is right, I don't think I could ever pass for a beer snob.
That's a true Milwaukee native, man. You're sticking to your roots, buddy.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, that being said, there are some delicious ciders out there that I've had. Although I'm kind of, ironically, with ciders, I'm kind of a Philistine because I prefer the sweet. Like, there's sweet ciders and there's dry ciders, and dry is definitely kind of the more refined, you know, more fancy, because it's almost like a champagne. I'm the one. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of like, give me the apple juice with a little alcohol in it. the first time I ever had cider actually was in Ireland. Their Magner cider, which is delicious. But again, I know that it's just like apple juice. I'm like, I could have like four of these, and then you do, and then you don't remember the rest of your evening in Dublin. But that was a great night, even though I can't remember everything about it too. I made random friends with two guys, and we had a night of I guess you'd say it, bar hopping that turned into pub crawling. It's kind of how it happened.
That's good. It sounds like an Olympic event or something.
Yeah, exactly. Are there any other Chicago IPAs that you're into?
Man, what other IPAs would I be to? Maybe not in Chicago.
Okay.
Obviously, I like Daisy Cutter, which isn't technically considered an IPA.
True, true.
It's a pale ale. A pale ale, but it's hoppier than your typical pale ale.
Mm-hmm.
And who's Daisy Cutter from, man? I can't think off the top of my
head. It's Half Acre.
Yeah. Oh, it's Half Acre. Yeah. So I like Daisy Cutter, but it's a pale ale, but it goes down more like an IPA. So that's another one that I like.
Very nice. I know you're a fan of another sponsor we've had for the show, Sketchbook. I've seen you drink a couple, two, three of those as well.
Absolutely. I like that they've expanded too, their bar room. It's nice. They've got the little platform where some music could come in at some point, and they needed it because they're so popular, that small space they had for years when they expanded. I think the last time we philosophized, we were there. So
yeah, for sure. And one thing I also like is that a lot of these craft breweries have been able to keep their tap rooms open because they are essential. And even if you can't go in to have a beer there, you can go in and pick up a four pack or a six pack or a growler or a howler. And so it's good to be able to, like, you know, support the local businesses. That's why I tell my wife every time we have to stop by and pick up some more beer. I'm like, this beer isn't for me. This beer is to help support the local economy.
A quick one, just to digress for 30 seconds. It was warm here, you know, last weekend. And so I'm like, I wonder if Cigari's open where I get my cigars. I'm like, surely not. So I call, and the guy Aaron answers, who owns it. I know him. And I go, Aaron, you guys are open. Are you guys an essential business? He goes, absolutely, we're an essential business. I'm like, I was scratching my head. I told my wife, Lindy, I'm like, I'm not quite sure a cigar store is essential business, but oh well, God bless them, you know?
Absolutely.
And I will go get one. So.
A brewery is for sure an essential business. There's a large chain of liquor stores here in Chicago, Binny's, which I know Joey, you're familiar with.
Affirmative.
But it's a great chain. They carry so much. And I remember this was probably the second week of the shelter in place order when everybody was still kind of panicked. And, you know, we've actually had some guests on even this season talking about, you know, how to message and what kind of messaging and communications have been happening during this pandemic. Theirs was so great. Everybody was sending these, here's what we're doing because of, you know, coronavirus, and here's all of the health things we're doing and blah, blah, blah. And theirs was basically, yeah, we're going to take care of all that stuff. The most important thing for you to know, though, is that we are open. We haven't declared an essential business. We are here to support you. And I read that. I was like, oh, thank God.
Man, and I bet they are crushing it right now. I mean, they have to be. So,
well, I hope so. But unfortunately, right, it's kind of a balance. So they're crushing it. There's more beer being sold and wine and liquor being sold at the stores. Not so much in the restaurants. So,
yeah,
you know, we're going to have to make sure when all this is over that we definitely take care of our local restaurants as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, let's go back. So we were talking about this idea of building trust and the power of emotional intelligence. I do think that there's going to be a kind of a reset that happens. If you were giving advice to somebody, like, you know, again, we're recording this, as you can tell, kind of in the middle of the shelter in place, in the middle of really the first wave here of the pandemic. What would you tell to somebody as far as what skills, or like what should they get good at to make sure that they can be successful in the new environment or whatever's going to happen? Like, where should they spend their time and energy? Because you run a professional development platform to help people get better. Like, what should they focus on?
Man, this is the age old one, and I'd say it here, it would be active listening. I mean, at this point, people need, coming out of this, the mental health issue is going to be very interesting, right? Because people need to be heard. They're going to need counseling. In many ways, for our clients, we can do that, right? We can ask questions and draw them out. And so it's the old 70-30, right? You need to be speaking 30% of the time and asking questions and listening 70% of the time. And I think Brian Tracy called that the white magic, you know. And, you know, the other is like paraphrasing with people, making sure that people understood that you heard what they said, and you kind of repeat it back them in a way so that you're on the same page there. The other one I would say is around active listening is being interested, not interesting.
Oh, I love that. That's old school. I love that one.
As we're out there, you know, around business development or whatever, we think in a way to build rapport, we need to say, oh man, I fly fish too, or I've got a sailboat, and me. In actuality, it's good to tag those things in the conversation for commonality, but you immediately put the spotlight back on the other person. And so the key there is to be interested in what they're saying and who they are, not being interesting. I see people tripping up on that one all the time, and that's going to become even more important coming out of this, you know. And then the other one I'd say is like avoiding judgment. You know, people talk about, I'd never judge another human being or whatever, but judgment comes in small packages, right?
Yeah.
I mean, people tell you about their second divorce and you say, or you have a little eyebrow raise. I know you can't see my eyebrow raise on the podcast.
Right.
But the point is, there are like little micro tendencies that we have that would come across as judgment. And so I think you got to be very careful because people are experiencing this different ways. And if you are asking questions and drawing people out, certain people, if they're at an intimate level with you in a certain way, they're going to share vulnerabilities. Wow, this has been tough for my family. This has been tough for me. And regardless, if you think it's overblown or it hasn't been tough for you or whatnot, you have to, again, it's back to empathy, right, man? But yeah. A big part of that is avoiding judgment of it. And so it's because people are at different places in their lives with these types of things. So I think those active listening skills and honing that more in and making it more about the other person and drawing them out, giving them an outlet to share their personal feelings and emotions and things, and listening without judgment, with empathy, is a huge skill. And David, you've got a lot of stuff on this, man. You've got blog articles and content around empathy. Like you said, you've been beating this drum for years, sometimes to deaf ears, right, on it.
People
don't pay as much attention. But you've got great resources on your website and in your books and things that teach this very skill. But I think that one's a big one. And the beautiful thing about active listening is it really takes pressure off of you because you don't have to be on with something clever to say next, you know?
Yep.
And so anyway, that's kind of my thoughts there around that skill set. And in addition to emotional intelligence, there's a lot more training out there today on being emotionally intelligent and emotionally aware. I got a book right here, Emotional Intelligence, that I just finished up or whatever. It's David Walton or whatever. It's just a very basic practical guide around emotional intelligence. And that's the kind of stuff I've been trying to hone into even further. I'm into that kind of stuff, but I think that skill is going to become invaluable even more than it was before.
I think you're right. And I think it's really interesting, again, to think about what this is resetting for us, because, and this is not just in the last 3 years or 5 years, and this is not just in financial services, but for a long time, we've always thought about selling as something that the salesperson does. And what I mean by that is it's you know, your work and your skill and, oh, you must be such a good talker, and right? And it's all about that salesperson's ego.
Gift of gab.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. And so for you to say like, hey, it's take yourself, stop talking, be a listener. One thing I think that was really interesting about what you said is that idea of no judgment. Because one thing that I found over my career as a coach is your job is to help somebody become vulnerable. And there's been a lot of talk about vulnerability in work conversations for the past few years, which I think is half the story. But you just made me think of why it kind of irritates me, because vulnerability is hard, not only for the giver, but for the receiver. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to put judgment on somebody, and not in a big way, but yeah, that raised eyebrow or like, oh, that's a weird thing you just said. And that's just, that's just human nature, right? We judge things, not even to say it's bad. It's just like, oh, I noticed that. And so for you to start practicing that idea of non-judgment can be so valuable.
Man, one thing I was just going to say, and I've used this for years. I use this today, and I've taught this to many salespeople over the years. The other thing coming out of this is talking to your clients or prospects and saying, hey, I want to see how I can be a resource to you. Let me know what way I can be a resource to you. Hey, I can come out. We can have a conversation. You know, maybe now's not the right time. I just want to be a resource to you at some point in the future. And I think that's very powerful language. I think that'll go a long way with people right now. Yep. Is just view yourself as trying to be a resource for other people, even if that means connecting them with the right experts that are outside of your wheelhouse. That's one thing you've done great for years, David, on your networking things. And, you know, I think about my financial advisor. The one thing, he's a great financial advisor, but the one thing he's helped me with in the last 6 months is hooking me up with other professionals that aren't even around, financial service stuff. And now I consider him just a resource, right? And so that builds that relationship. If people start coming to you asking, hey, who do you go to for XYZ and things like that? You might not make one dime off of that, but the goodwill of you being a resource and connecting them to the right people goes a long, long way in building that trust and that enduring relationship.
Yeah, I love that. Well, and of course I do, because you're just basically talking about my concept of the sales Sherpa. So the check is in the mail.
You need to carry me around in your back pocket, man.
For sure. Just, you know, I'm just going to get a recording of you and I'll just pop you out of my phone and just play you, you know, play it every time I'm talking to somebody. Hey, you want to know more about me? Listen to what my friend Joey Davenport says.
Absolutely, all right, man.
Well, then I've got to return the favor and give you a chance to tell me about something that's, I know is awesome, but tell me about, and this I know is new, Hot LZ's album.
Yeah, man. So I'm in a, I guess you'd say kind of a blues rock band here in Chicago called Hot LZ. I've been in this band for almost 9 years now, D-Fish, if you can imagine that.
You're figuring it out. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, I figured it out finally. And I lead singer and play acoustic guitar and electric guitar. And I play a little harmonica. D-Fish comes out to shows to see us. He's been a great supporter.
Absolutely.
We dropped our first full-length album in the fall, and it's called Fuzzbuster. And if you go to hotlzband.com, you'll see it there, and you can stream us on Spotify or, you know, Apple Music or any of those. Be sure you follow us on there. It's a blend of kind of rock and roll, folk rock, hip hop, heavy rock, a little country blues stuff. And I think you'll dig it. That album's called Fuzzbuster. And as you know, David, we actually had, I think, 30 vinyl albums made. We had it mastered.
I love it.
Into a vinyl record, and we sold those out. They're very expensive when you only get 25 or 30.
Right.
But it was so much fun to have it on a vinyl record or whatever. But yeah, hotlzband.com. I tell you, during this time we're talking about, you know, one of the tougher things has been not being able to go and jam, you know, with my band. I did do for our community here, I decided to put on a virtual little mini concert. It was like 45 minutes. And I probably had about 40 families on a Saturday night. I just got up with my microphone and was just acoustic electric. I did 5 Hot LZ originals and 5 covers. And just will say this one, I was playing songs that I had not played in 25 years since college, because I don't play a lot of cover songs, you know?
Right.
So I did Free Fallin', Tom Petty.
Nice.
I did A Pirate Looks at 40 by Jimmy Buffett.
Okay.
I did Sublime's What I Got, which Hot LZ will cover from time to time.
Yeah.
I did a song off Lenny Kravitz's very first album from 89, Let Love Rule. It's called Rosemary, which is fantastic.
Okay.
If you've never heard that.
I have.
And then my last cover I played in honor of the late, great Kenny Rogers, I learned The Gambler and closed with The Gambler.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to learn to play a song, boy, you got to learn to play it right.
Absolutely.
And that brought the house down. Everybody loved it. But it was fun because, you know, everybody's at home. They're not interacting as much. And the feedback I got from people, and I was really just doing it for others, you know, is the fact that you had an appointment on Saturday night to go to and you could see all your friends on there and it brought joy. And that's what I'm really about on it. It made me very happy that it made other people happy and they enjoyed it. So that was one way to get my fix and be able to perform for others, you know, during the apocalypse.
Oh, that's so fun. And what's really interesting is and to go even back to a business point you made earlier is that, you know, the world, certain things will not go back to the way they were, but some things will. I do think that what is happening now is we're kind of expanding what the possibilities are, right? So I would argue that you probably wouldn't have thought of doing something like that 3 or 4 months ago, right? Just saying, hey, I'm going to play, you know, a full set, just me and the guitar, whoever wants to jump on can jump on. But now that you've done it, you know that even if you don't do it much in the future, that it's still in your back pocket, right?
Totally, man. And hey, man, well, the other thing to that real quick is, you know, I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, as you know, and I haven't done this yet, but all of a sudden I'm going, what would, you know, my friends back home can't come to my Hot LZ shows in Chi-Town and my family can't. What would stop me now to doing something like that with my friends all over the United States or back in Nashville, whatever? And so it really opens up a connection piece virtually that before might have seemed kind of lame. But now it's like, no, man, this removes all barriers, you know, from a virtual standpoint.
Exactly. And I think you point out something really good. You could have done this before, but it would have just been odd. And so, but so now that you can do it, how to say this, I don't think we're going to just all of a sudden exclusively become just, you know, pod people watching things over Zoom. But even going back to a business example, we can have a Zoom call with somebody that we wouldn't normally have, or having a webinar that's beyond just your local area is, hey, that's valid, right? That's something we can do. We don't have to just meet in person.
Yep.
And so I think it puts a lot more tools in our toolbox, so to speak.
Absolutely. And hey, David, one other point I would make, and we've chatted briefly about this, in looking at a silver lining with all this, you know, we do a lot of work at HPN and, you know, Canada and Latin America and South Africa and Asia. And so I've been on a lot of calls lately. The very interesting thing is no matter where someone is in the world, every single person we interact with is working from home right now and experiencing the exact same thing.
Right.
And I think that draws the world closer. And I think it's more of a connection point with people on the other side of the planet experiencing the same thing that we're experiencing. And that to me is like a silver lining. I think that is a thing that draws the world in just a little bit closer of that human experience. And I think long term, that is going to be a great thing.
I agree with you. That shared experience. I mean, it is interesting to think that this is possibly one of the only, or maybe one of the only experiences where you can go anywhere in the world and go April 2020 and everybody's be like, yep, was sitting at home, totally freaked out.
It's crazy. It's wild, you know?
And there's very few things that are truly global in that nature or something of that nature. So
yeah,
I think absolutely. You're absolutely right. You know, man, that sounds like a good place for us to wrap things up, because I think we could probably just talk for another half an hour about music and another half hour about beer. So we'll just have you back on again.
You'll have to have me back, man. So you have to have me back.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I've enjoyed it, buddy. I really appreciate it. I it's an honor for you to ask me to be here with it. And I'm proud of you for all the stuff you're doing with this. And I really appreciate our friendship.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate the kind words. You know, one thing I do always ask at the end of each show is, what's one tip you'd give somebody to help them have a better day today?
I would say, look at the things in your life that you're grateful for. As you're looking at what's going on right now, I'm spending time with my family. I'm not caught up in the hustle and bustle. Luckily, the digital nature of my company allows me to not have to lay any people off, and there's a big demand. And so wake up every day trying to think of, and despite all this craziness, what are things I'm grateful for? And that gives me joy and makes me very appreciative. So I would say, look at the things in your life right now, even though we're going through a crazy time, what are things that you're grateful for because you're put in this position right now?
I love it. Super simple, but very, very powerful. Joey, if somebody wanted to continue the conversation, what's the best way for them to get in touch with you?
Yeah, get in touch with me on LinkedIn, you all. It's Joey Davenport. I'm again with the Hoopus Performance Network. If you wanted to shoot me an email, I don't know if people give their emails out on here, David, or not, but
go for it.
Joey@hoopus.com, Joey at Hoopis.com. Or if you're in financial services, check out hoopus.com. And
cool.
Definitely connect with me on LinkedIn. So
awesome.
If I could ever be a resource to anyone, definitely let me know.
Very cool. And we'll make sure we put all those links in the show notes as well. And I want to, of course, say thank you again to our sponsor, Urban Renewal Brewery. I am now completely done with my beer, the Queens of Wit, and it was delightful. Nice, light, crisp beer. Makes me actually think of summer. Makes me want to be sitting outside on a patio somewhere, maybe cooking some food on the grill, having one of these.
Absolutely.
So definitely check out Urban Renewal Brewery if you're in the Chicagoland or Illinois Midwest area. And even if you can't get your hands on some Urban Renewal, do take care of your local craft brewery. They're a small business trying to make things happen in these odd times. So definitely go and support them. And everybody, thank you for taking a few minutes to join me and Joey as we had this conversation. And we will see you next time on Beer Beats and Business. See ya.
Thanks for stopping by. You can find show notes and links in this episode at beerbeatsandbusiness.com. We all know the best way to find out about a new podcast is through our friends. So please help us out and share what we're doing through social media, or just tell someone. And if you could do us a favor and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform, like iTunes or Stitcher, that would be great. Want to get in on the conversation? Send DFish a message on Twitter at DFishRockstar, and we'll save a spot for you at the bar for the next Beer, Beats, and Business.